This is the Head On Radio Network.
The News Network. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is downplaying a report in the New York Times today that says the U.S. Marine Corps wants to pull out of Iraq and focus on Afghanistan, leaving the Iraqi war to the U.S. Army. Gates said he hasn't seen such a plan and no one has proposed it to him. The main U.S. ally in the Iraq war, Britain, is reducing most of its military presence in Iraq. At Camp Victory in Iraq, a series of attacks on the U.S. base Wednesday killed two U.S. coalition members. 40 were wounded. After the recent controversy over private security companies such as Blackwater USA operating in Iraq to protect U.S. diplomats, the State Department is considering phasing out or limiting the use of the guards. The Associated Press reports that their contract may be canceled or go to another company. Turkey has withdrawn its ambassador to the U.S. after a House panel approved a bill that calls the killings of Armenians nearly a century ago genocide. The ambassador is expected to remain in Turkey for at least a week for, quote, consultations, according to a Turkish foreign ministry spokesman. President Bush will attend a ceremony today which presents the Congressional Gold Medal to the Dalai Lama. The president risks heightened tensions with China because the exiled Buddhist leader is seen as a separatist by Beijing. At Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, tests have begun on a new body scanning machine that could replace metal detectors used to screen airport passengers. Radio waves are used to detect foreign objects that may be hidden on a person's body. There is a growing national movement to draft former Vice President Al Gore to run for president in 2008. Supporters of the Democrat are raising thousands of dollars for petition drives and media campaigns, including a full-page advertisement which appeared in the New York Times today. Gore's representatives indicate that he has no interest in running. In a BBC interview, former President Jimmy Carter criticized Vice President Dick Cheney as a, quote, disaster for the country. He also accused the VP of having too much influence in foreign policy. A U.S. federal court judge blocked a key part of the White House effort to crack down on illegal immigrant workers and those who employ them. The program would force employers to verify Social Security numbers and fire those workers whose numbers didn't match official records. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
Arthritis is the nation's leading cause of disability, and according to government statistics, about a third of U.S. adults have work limitations because of the chronic condition. The drug makers of more than a dozen cold medicines have pulled the products voluntarily from store shelves. The decision comes shortly after the government warned that there is a possible health risk to infants under age 2 who take the over-the-counter drugs. In September, retail sales were worse than expected for stores such as Target and JCPenney. The retailers blame the warm weather, the declining housing market, and a dip in consumer confidence. Two-thirds of retailers missed their sales expectations, according to a company that tracks the data. The Commerce Department reports that the U.S. trade gap in August was the lowest in 3 years because of a weaker dollar. It narrowed to $57.6 billion. Yesterday's UAW walkout against Chrysler was over in 6 hours. The automaker and union have tentatively agreed to a new 4-year contract. Gold is trading at $756.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $83.08 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 64 points at 14,015. NASDAQ was down 39 and the S&P 500 down 8. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Thank you. On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome aboard for this Thursday evening, Thursday late afternoon edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm awfully glad to have you by my side. Awfully glad to have you in the chat room, sitting quietly in your homes, wherever it is you happen to be listening. I'm glad to know that you are, because this conversation means a lot to me, and I'm glad to know that it means as much to you. Because there's something awfully, awfully special about it. I think we achieve a far better rapport, frankly, than just about any other form of radio talk, this conversation radio that we at the Horn have invented. And it, it warms me. It truly, truly warms me. And it had better warm me, since it's downright cold outside. 85 degrees yesterday, 45 degrees today. Welcome to no such thing as global climate change. Jeepers. Tonight, a variety of stories. Listening, of course, I produce Mark Levine's Radio Inside Scoop, and sometimes I can't help it. It's, I guess I just bogart some of his topics. And he did, but I had been meaning for several days now to address the situation with Turkey. And Mark brought it up this evening. I said, okay, I'm not going to leave that one lay anymore. We got to talk about it. Because it has real potential across the board to just screw up a lot of stuff. Now, you got to, here's the situation as it exists. The Turks hate the Kurds. The Kurds hate the Turks. We like the Turks, and we like the Kurds. Unfortunately, the Turks and the Kurds live next to each other and have been killing each other for, well, I guess since the Turks rode through the Kurds take over the geographic region commonly known as Asia Minor. And I think maybe that's part of the problem, too. The Turks know that they're not natives. At this point in time, in the first decade of the 21st century, the Kurds are the largest ethnic minority on earth that do not have a homeland of their own. They live in parts of Iran, they live in parts of Rentschberg-Liebrichstein, you know, a whole bunch of consonants and no vowels. They live in the north of Iraq, and they live in parts of Turkey where the Turks have not yet managed to slaughter them. Turkey is, of course, a NATO ally of ours. While the Turks refused to allow us to mount an invasion of Iraq in 2003 via Turkey invading Iraq from the north and thereby compelling us to invade rather weirdly from the south through the narrow little strip of land that fronts the Persian Gulf, it is, I have read lately that we do, in fact, send a great deal of our resupply to our troops in Iraq via Turkey. And when you make a deal with the devil will demand his due, not calling the Turks devils. So any people of Turkish ancestry in the audience can just settle down. But in exchange for allowing us overflight and drive-through and so forth, whatever it is that we're doing in Turkey to get supplies into Iraq, It is the nature of diplomatic give and take, quid pro quo, that we have surely promised something, and by we, I mean the Bush administration, which makes me want to gag my dinner. What was that, do you suppose? That we wouldn't interfere with their repression of the Kurds on their border? Or maybe somewhere along the way, the Bush administration figured out, God knows how, Ouija board, magic eight ball, that the Turks are still very, very sensitive about the little bit of genocide that they practiced. And yes, as Mark noted, it is true that the Turkish genocide against the Armenians, 1.5 million Armenians, a little over 1/6, closer to 1/5 of the same number of people that Hitler later slaughtered. Hitler was inspired by the Armenian genocide. Hitler knew what the Turks had done to the Armenians. There was outright slaughter, there were hangings, there were shootings. There were also mass murders, and there was something that equates with what the American government did to the Cherokee people, the Trail of Tears, forcibly marching them out of their ancestral homelands and down into Palestine and relocating them. Many Armenian human beings died as a result of that forced march, from injury, from exposure, from starvation, from lead poisoning, you know, out of the mouth of a machine gun or a Mauser rifle, you know, whatever. And the Turks don't like to be reminded of this. They imprisoned a Turkish author who was later assassinated, who had tried to remind his fellow Turks of the blood debt upon their hands. They have a law in Turkey that you may not even mention the Armenian genocide without being put in one of those prisons where they play the soundtrack from Midnight Express all the time. That's how serious it is. And this evening, as you and I sit and cuss and discuss, the Turkish government in Ankara, it is Ankara, isn't it, has recalled its ambassador from Washington. Now, they're quick to point out that they're not withdrawing the ambassador. They've just asked him to come back home for some consultations. Wonder what kind of consultations they're going to have. Wonder what kind of fist they're going to hold over the head of our pusillanimous coward of a president. Because the House of Representatives, for the first time, has acknowledged or has noted or taken note of the wholesale, deliberate, intentional ethnic slaughter of the Armenians. And it will likely go to a vote in the House, and it will likely pass. The Bush administration is having a purple, polka-dotted, blue screaming hissy over it, and trying to paint it in as negative terms as possible. George Bush said, "Each passage would do great harm to our relations with a key ally in NATO and the global war on terror." Turkey's president, Abdullah Gül, has had a little hissy, saying, "Unfortunately, some politicians in the United States have once again sacrificed important matters to petty domestic politics despite all calls to common sense. This unacceptable decision by the committee, like its predecessors, has no validity or respectability for the Turkish nation. You see, I think this says a whole lot more about Turkey than it says about the House of Representatives, though. When a nation cannot deal with the evil that it has done, that nation shows itself unfit for membership in the common society of nations that consider themselves civilized. The Saudis are still funding textbooks that refer to slaughtering dirty Jews. They cannot come to terms with their bigotry and their racism. And what the Saudis have is truly racism. Racism being defined as the belief that one race of human beings is somehow superior to another race, which is somehow inferior, less than human. The Saudis can't come to terms with theirs, and the Turks, albeit not nearly as virulently, hatefully fundamentalist Muslim, they are in fact considered to be a secular state despite significant gains inside the Turkish parliament by fundamentalist Muslims. The Turks have that problem too. But guess what? So do we. They still have a statue somewhere in Ohio, I've peed on it, to General Philip Sheridan, who said, "The only good Indian is a dead Indian." Colonel John Chislington, hero in Colorado, said, "Nits make lice," when asked about the slaughter of Native American women and children. Andrew Jackson, who appears on the $20 bill, committed acts against the Cherokee people, which are in fact reminiscent of some of the atrocities committed by Hitler and Stalin. But we cannot deal with that reality. We cannot bring it up in public, because it does not work within the myth that we have established for ourselves. The other night, of course, I had a lovely conversation with Barbara O'Brien from MahaBlog.com, and she had addressed that myth issue and right-wingers in a post over at MahaBlog. And mostly we talk about right-wingers when we talk about these things, but please bear in mind, it is a national failing of ours. We cannot deal with what we did to the native peoples here. Modern estimates now suggest that far more human beings lived on this continent and the South American continent at the time of the arrival of the disease-laden, gold-lusting whites from Spain, religiously insane, than lived in Europe. Imagine that if you can. There were more people living in Tenochtitlan, what is now Mexico City, than lived in Seville, Valladolid, Madrid, London, Paris, Vienna, Venice, Florence, Rome, Athens, any of those cities. And that was repeated in various locations through the continents. But the Congress cannot be bothered to author a resolution regarding the American culpability in slaughter, in genocide, in what is sometimes termed, and I think it far too weak a term, ethnic cleansing. But the Congress is addressing the issue of genocide as it relates to the Turks. And the Turks need to learn to deal with their own history instead of denying it. Now, meanwhile, Sean McCormick is a spokesman for the State Department. One wonders how Sean McCormick manages to get to work every day without throwing himself in the Potomac River in an abject recognition of how viciously he has sold his soul. Sean McCormick said, "The United States recognizes the immense suffering of the Armenian people due to mass killings and forced deportations at the end of the Ottoman Empire. We support a full and fair accounting of the atrocities that befell as many as 1.5 Armenians during World War I. But the measure doesn't do that." How about that? The slaughter befell Armenians. See, that's the power of language, isn't it? I was always taught growing up that when you write, you should write in active verbs. To use the passive voice was to create weak writing. In other words, if you want to say, the strong and honest way to say it is to say that the Turks killed 1.5 million Armenians. If you want to get all slippery and dishonest and creepy about it, you say that 1.5 million Armenians were killed, or that death befell them. Like some sort of Roadrunner cartoon where a big iron weight that says 1.5 million lives worth just fell on the Armenian people and made them go squish underneath. That befell them. But we shouldn't be surprised that this Bush administration can't be bothered to acknowledge history. This is an administration that thinks history is at best a nuisance and at worst a threat to national security. This is an administration the leader of whose grandfather was busted under the U.S. Trading with the Enemy Act in, 1943? For his dealings with I.G. Farben and the man who was referred to as Hitler's angel. The Bush in question was, of course, Prescott Bush. This isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't, did Building 7 commit suicide or was it pushed? This really happened. Prescott Bush, via his connections to a banking house on Wall Street named Brown Brothers Harriman, did massive amounts of business with I.G. Farben and a man known as Hitler's Angel. I apologize, that man's name evades me at the moment. As a result of all this, the assets were seized and he was charged under the Trading with the Enemy Act. Well, once again, the Bush administration is in an intimate cheek-to-cheek dance with the sons and grandsons and great-grandsons of killers, namely the Turkish government. I haven't anything against the Turkish people. As long as they want to stay where they are and I stay where I am, I feel like we probably will get along fine. In fact, someday, if I ever get to travel, I would love nothing more than to see the coastline of what was referred to back then as Ionian Greece. I would like to see Ephesus. I would like to see the site of ancient Sardis. I would like to see the site of Miletus. I would like to see the site of ancient Troy. And walk. Walk. Where Priam walked. In that city that was deemed an ideal by the ancient Achaeans, known to you and me now as Greeks. I'd like to see it all. So, where does that leave us? What's going to happen? What happens if Turkey decides to finally get its freak on and slaughter the snot out of the Kurds like they did the Armenians? Because, you see, that's what this congressional thing is all about. It's a little tap on the Turkish shoulder saying, fellas, we remember. You don't want to, but we do. There are a lot of Armenian Americans who remind us of the slaughter of the Armenian people. And this is a reminder. We're reminding you to keep you from doing it to the Kurds like you did it to the Armenians, while once again you thought the attention of the world was diverted. The Turks are terrified, you see, because the Kurds will kill Turks with the same reckless, joyful abandon as Turks kill Kurds. And the Turks are afraid that they, if there is ever a Kurdish homeland, that it might gobble up some Turkish border country, and that having the Kurds unified under a central government and gathered all together, why, it makes the Prime Minister Gül's bowels turn to water at the thought of all those Kurds empowered to start getting a little revenge. Because, you know, revenge plays real big in that neck of the woods. And so I have no doubt that, yes, the Turkish ambassador will get a week-long vacation back home to Turkey, and he'll come back, and he will look Dick Cheney and George Bush squarely in the eye, both of whom are utter cowards and full of bluster, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing, as Shakespeare would have noted. And he'll tell them that if this resolution passes, that there won't be any more supplies going to American soldiers through Turkey. And that all bets are off. I mean, heavens to Betsy, Senator Joe Biden's argument that we need to balkanize Iraq and create a Kurdish homeland in the north of Iraq must absolutely make Turkey quail. Ooh, two bird analogies. In trepidation. Because, of course, we will, because the Kurds have been good allies during the war against the people of Iraq and the occupation thereof. We will arm them to the teeth. See, this is what happens when you let screw-ups run the government. Because, let's face it, after 6.5 years, you kind of got to admit, if you didn't come to this a long time ago, that the Bush administration are precisely that. Screw-ups. Now, I know there are listeners who say that, no, the quagmire was intended. I've been around, I've gone around that mulberry bush several times. And I can't get down with it. These people are screw-ups. They thought they were going to be welcomed as liberators. They thought they were going to be home in a week. They behaved like Americans almost always behave with regard to a war. We'll go out and kick some butt and we'll be done in 2 weeks. You remember how Washingtonians drove in their carriages and their best Sunday finery out to the hills outside Washington, D.C. to watch those no-good, rebellious, butternut, southern, traitorous, on and on, get their butts handed to them by the Grand Army of the Republic? Well, those people in their carriages got caught up in the same rout as the Grand Army of the Republic when those butternut-wearing hillbilly barefoot heathens beat the snot out of the Yankees. So that's part of our national character, another one of those things that we don't like to acknowledge. And it was part of the same mindset that said, oh, we'll be greeted as liberators. They'll line the streets with chocolate bars just for us. Jesus. Screw-ups. Screw-ups. That's what we're dealing with here. Screw-ups. Ugh. Of course, I'm going to leave that alone because that's just a little too paranoid. So, you know, I thought it was worth mentioning that as we begin the program tonight. And let's go to the phones and see who's with us. Hey, who've I got?
Kevin from D.C.
Hey, Kevin, my friend. How's it going?
I'm okay. You got my email today?
Yeah.
Okay. The Turks have way too much to lose. You need not worry. They want to join the European Union. That means most of all to them. In spite of all what's going on, yes, there's terrorism in Turkey. It may not be the safest place to go as a tourist right now, but they have way too much to lose, way too much money coming in. Don't forget, Turkey has virtually no oil, no wealth. So it has to depend on the goodwill of other nations for it to be prosperous.
Yeah, but also remember, Kevin, that this is an emotional issue. A lot of common sense may go right out the window on it.
Yes, but also, hey, this may be a way for the war to end, because Turkey is the means where all the equipment goes through, because you know how now the Persian Gulf is?
Oh, yeah. 70% of U.S. air cargo headed for Iraq goes through Turkey.
And if Turkey says no more, you know, the tragic thing about it is that we have 130,000 U.S. soldiers stuck in the middle of nowhere in a war zone where supplies are running low. As far as the mercenaries, I really don't care about. So.
Have the right-wingers figured this angle out yet, Kevin? Have you heard anything?
No, not really. I think Tucker Carlson might have said something about it, and it was totally nonsense. I had to turn it. I can't stand the punk. But, you know, Turkey has way too much to lose. I think hopefully eventually they'll just come to their senses and say, yes, we screwed up back in 1915, and, you know, let's just get on with business as usual. You know, that's a two-edged sword, on my opinion, because me personally, I'd rather say, you know what? I'd rather the opposite say, well, you know, you cannot use us as one big supply base anymore and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, I that was the paranoid place that I had decided not to go, Kevin. Because I can just hear it now. My friends, this Turkish resolution is a Trojan horse. Har har, aren't I the funny one? Har har. Because it's the Democrats seeking a way to compel an end to the war by turning our own allies against us. Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
They're already turning against us. Britain is about to pull out. That's our closest ally.
But see, this the thing that scares me is I know how much better the Republican megaphone is than ours, simply by virtue of they've got a much bigger one, and they'll say that we are endangering the troops on the ground. One third of all fuel used in military vehicles in Iraq goes through Turkey. That could be endangered here, because the White House has already said it, Kevin. You know? It's a little creepy as far as, you know, I think this thing should pass just because I think people should deal with reality. I think people should deal with their own histories. And if we can do that for Turkey, you know, it may be a little intervention for them that they desperately needed.
Yeah, but Turkey desperately wants to go into the European Union.
Precisely, and we know that we can do that. We know we can get away with it because they want. We think that they won't do anything because they want to be part of the EU.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, when it comes down to the bottom line, I think Turkey knows it has more to gain being part of the EU and adopting to the euro than any deal the U.S. can cut for them down the long run. Because let's face it, our dollar.
So are they still on what? What are they? Are they still on the piaster? I mean, they don't have the euro.
No, not yet. And they're trying to get into that. They desperately want to get into that.
Okay. Well, it may be a brilliant little piece of strategery.
By the Democrats.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the war. There's no bring the troops home in this.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, the Turks may just have to sit there and like it. Because otherwise, if they start hopping up and down, they might resemble just a little too much Muslim fundamentalists and endanger that EU membership.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, just keep that in mind. You know, they have way too much to lose.
Well,
anyway,
I will.
That's all I have to say, Bob. Have a
okay.
Good.
Well, Kevin, thanks a lot, and you have a great night.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye now. See how easy that was? You, too, can be a part of the program at 304-658-5453 or 877. This is the toll-free part if you need us to carry the freight. 877-443-2366. Wow. Is that cool or what? Jump right in. Lines are open. And, you know, don't feel like you're compelled to discuss this and this alone. If you want to talk about something else, you know what? We can do that, too. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to the support of the... You're listening to the network that happens with your support. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Welcome back. About 18 and a half minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. And, well, I tell you what. We premiered a new song, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket. No. The new song premiered last night on Peter Godbold's Strictly Confidential. Many of you heard it. Some of you haven't. And I want to kind of make sure that it goes out this show as well, simply because, you know, we're proud of it. I started the program last night by talking about the Reverend Gary Aldridge, who was found dead of what the medical examiner in Montgomery, Alabama, determined to be death by mechanical autoerotic asphyxiation. He was bound up in a couple of wetsuits. He had a rubber bondage mask on, rubber bondage panties, and a dildo. Well, where you could be on, really the only, one of the only two places you could put one in a guy, and this one ain't his mouth. He was, of course, a graduate of Liberty University, where family values reign supreme, and you can't swing a dead cat without hitting somebody talking about the threat that marrying gay people getting married poses to our godless society. He was, in fact, a close associate of the Reverend Jerry Falwell, who is probably getting something similar done to him for all eternity in hell, even as we speak. In fact, Reverend Aldridge probably showed up down there, and Falwell turned to him and said, "Oh, you're going to love it here!" The song, it doesn't just deal with that issue. It deals with the fact that a week and a half or so ago, the upstanding, upright, moral, opus dei, foot-washing, self-flagellating freaks on the United States Supreme Court declined to hear a First Amendment challenge or a challenge in general, to the law passed by people very similar to Reverend Aldridge in Alabama that bans the sale of sex toys in Alabama. And, of course, when I saw the guy was from Montgomery, suffice to say that my mind moves in mysterious ways, but I was immediately reminded of John Prine's beautiful, beautiful ballad, Angel from Montgomery. And so I put the lyric together, but the lyric was nothing. John Fox, who you hear doing All Foxed Up, who, and you know, John John plays and John goofs around and giggles and laughs, and he's very self-deprecating and very laid back. You didn't know that John Fox was, I mean, he's talked about his experiences on the road with bands of his own, working for other bands and roadie stuff and the tech stuff. But you really didn't know what a profoundly brilliant musician John Fox is. This is the song is fun. What's even more fun is for me to find out, as I find out a little bit more every day, what genuinely amazing people I have had the good fortune to be affiliated with as we have all together created the little miracle that is the horn. So, with all of that in mind, I offer for you a little tune that we've titled Preacher in Montgomery. I hope you enjoy it. I really, really do.
I am a good Christian, got a good congregation, my wife's on vacation, and the kids are all grown. I've got me some swimsuits, rubber's my desire. Got a head mask of latex that makes me just moan. Send me a dildo, I can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy, but the deacons can't know. Just give me one ear hole that I can breathe in through. Hogtie me with bungees and fix them just so.
My part, having done the lyrics, screw the lyrics. I could sit and listen to John Fox play all day long. That was just amazing. And just for your edification, I'm told, hey, John, you listening? The song itself has now been emailed off to one of the guys down at John Prine's Oh Boy Records. Oh, it's been all around. Let's see. Somebody in our good friend Trouble in the chat room is saying that she's emailed it off to Stephanie Miller. I think it's been provided to Mike and Kathy Malloy. I don't know if anybody sent it to Sam Cedar since he's covering for Mike. And I don't know if you can say dildo in my bottom on terrestrial radio either, for that matter. It's gone off to the Howard Stern show. It's gone off to Larry Flint. So, I don't know, you know, send me a dildo against enough walls and maybe it'll stick somewhere. Oh, the imagery! Let's go to the phones and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Yeah.
This is Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ed, how about you?
Well, I called in to hang on a while and listen and see what's going on.
All right, I can put you right back on hold if you want me to.
All right, and if I... want to chip in anything, I'll sure holler.
Okay, no trouble at all. Good to hear from you.
Same here, and thank you.
Yes, indeed. We've got a couple of spare lines, so sometimes folks like to listen via the phone as opposed to on a computer, so you know, that's how that works. I hope you guys got a kick out of that. Let's see. I sent it off to our good friend Bart Kopp, too. Agnes and I had a little discussion about it last night. She said, you sure this isn't just downright cruel? And I searched my heart. I really did. And I wondered, but you know what? I know what these people are like, and I've got a pretty good idea of how many lives they've tormented and how many people they've made miserable. Looking at perfectly decent human beings and telling them you're going to hell because you don't love the way you're supposed to love. Reckon Reverend Gary Aldridge felt compelled to speak out about the sex toy ban in Alabama and to support it? Montgomery is, after all, the state capital. That's where it originated. So, no, I don't have any regrets about the song. I don't have any regrets at all. And I kind of figure, anybody who's ever been associated with the Reverend Jerry Falwell, considering the number of people that man made miserable, has damn sure earned anything. And, of course, to the Reverend Gary Aldridge, it doesn't matter now. He's dead. He's not in hell. He's not in heaven. He's dead. His wife? Well, you know, she went to Falwell University, too. Just because you're not a male graduate of Falwell University doesn't, you know, she was there dealing with the same hate that gets pumped out of that Southern Baptist hellhole every week too. All right, let's check the phone again. Hey, who I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan.
I wanted to tell the listeners that. The song is even funnier if you look up in Wikipedia what a rusty trombone is.
Well, you know, I just had to get rusty trombone into the song. I changed the line of the chorus to get rusty trombone in.
I originally didn't know what it was, and I looked it up, and I about fell off the chair.
Well, see, I mean, that's what I was... The whole rusty... I only learned about rusty trombones about a week and a half ago. When I was, because I live a sheltered existence. It all goes back to the Sean Hannity winning National Association of Broadcasters Broadcaster of the Year Award when somebody over at thinkprogress.org noted the award speech
Oh, yeah, and the Cleveland Steamer.
Right, and there was when I looked up Cleveland Steamer, there was a link to Rusty Trombone, and I just went, ah!
I'm afraid I'm
You know, made that little alien noise, the little, you know, it pops out of the guy's belly in the first...
I'm afraid I'm just as sheltered as you are.
Oh,
God, it was funny.
Yeah, and so, you know, then changed it again at the end to, I guess the wife's going to know. Because, you know, I went and I read, I read the police report at the Smoking Gun, and it would appear that the cops found him, if I've read it correctly. So can you imagine the phone call to the wife?
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Aldridge, there's been a tragic accident.
Yeah.
What is it? And they explain, he was murdered. No, ma'am. No. We've talked to the coroner about that, and the coroner's pretty doggone certain it wasn't murder, ma'am. It was mechanical autoerotic self-asphyxiation. Can you just imagine? I'm guessing she doesn't live in Montgomery anymore.
No, I'm guessing she doesn't either. But you will never get me to believe that somebody wasn't there with him.
I'm guessing she doesn't go by Aldridge anymore.
Yeah, but I firmly believe there was somebody there with him who had probably had the smarts to cut and run.
They didn't cut enough.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just way too easy, Susan. That was just way too easy. But
anyway, if I can figure out if other people to send this to, I will.
Well, that's cool. You know, we've spread it around. I wonder
if Randy Rhodes would be interested in it.
Nah. Let's don't say we didn't. I'm pretty sure that they can't say that on the air.
Oh no, I wasn't thinking of getting her to put it on the air. I was just thinking for personal use. She might get a hell of a charge out of it.
Well, I'm hoping it gets enough traction that it'll do that all by itself, and it maybe find its way to her. But you know, we got it over to our buddies at WD40.com. Just about every, I think John shipped it off to Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what I'm hoping is that Stephanie and her crew, if necessary, they can bleep. Because they were talking about it yesterday. So if necessary, they leave it.
Okay. Well, hopefully, maybe they will. I certainly hope they give credit. You know what I mean?
Anyway, I'll let you go.
All right. Susan, take care. Bye now.
Say hi to Agnes.
I sure will. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I think Agnes is sitting back having a hot cup of comfort and joy tea from the Republic of Tea. So we've got news coming up, and after that, your phone calls, your ideas, or me running my mouth. We can do it just about any old way you want to. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Is the Quality News Network.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates is downplaying a New York Times report that says the U.S. Marine Corps wants to pull out of Iraq and focus on Afghanistan, leaving the Iraqi war to the U.S. Army. Gates says he hasn't seen such a plan and no one has proposed it to him. Mortar or rocket fire targeting the main U.S. military base in Baghdad Wednesday killed 2 members of the U.S.-led coalition. 40 others were wounded. After the recent controversy over private security companies such as Blackwater USA, the State Department is considering phasing out or limiting their use. The Associated Press reports that some contracts may be canceled. The private firms are hired mainly to protect U.S. diplomats in Iraq. Turkey has withdrawn its ambassador to the U.S. after a House panel approved a bill that calls the killings of Armenians nearly a century ago genocide. The ambassador is expected to remain in Turkey for at least a week, according to a Turkish Foreign Ministry spokesperson. A bomb attack at one of India's most revered Islamic shrines in Rajasthan has killed 3 and wounded 18. The blast happened when worshippers were gathered for a religious celebration. No word yet on who carried out that attack. At Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, tests have begun on a new body scanning machine that could replace metal detectors used to screen airport passengers. Radio waves are used to detect foreign objects that may be hidden on a person's body. A Chinese government spokesman says China strongly opposes the U.S. decision to award the Congressional Gold Medal to the Dalai Lama. President Bush will meet with the exiled Tibetan spiritual leader next week. Beijing says the move is interference in its internal affairs. Supporters trying to draft former Vice President Democrat Al Gore to run for president in 2008 are raising thousands of dollars for petition drives and media campaigns, including a full-page advertisement in today's New York Times. Gore's representatives indicate he has no interest in running. The Nobel Prize for Literature was awarded to British author Doris Lessing today. At 87 years of age, Lessing has written more than a dozen novels, including The Golden Notebook. In a BBC interview today, former President Jimmy Carter criticized Vice President Dick Cheney as a disaster for our country. You're listening to QNN.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
The drug makers of more than a dozen over-the-counter cold medicines have pulled the products voluntarily from store shelves. The decision comes shortly after the government warned that there's a possible health risk to children under age 2. Arthritis is the nation's leading cause of disability, and according to government statistics, about a third of U.S. adults have work limitations because of the chronic condition. The treasurer of the state of North Carolina is asking federal officials to probe the CEO of Countrywide in the wake of his recent stock sales. The treasurer wants the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to investigate the sale, which occurred just as the subprime mortgage crisis was growing. According to data compiled by a company which tracks home foreclosures in the U.S., the foreclosure rate in September was about 1 in every 557 households. That's down slightly from August, but still nearly double what it was a year ago. In September, 2/3 of retailers missed their sales expectations. Retailers such as Target and JCPenney blame warm weather and declining consumer confidence in the wake of the housing market problems. Gold is trading at $756.70 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 64 points at 14,015. The NASDAQ was down 39, and the S&P was down 8. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
5 minutes past the hour. Thanks for sticking around. The most genial form of radio talk in the world. That's us. The little chatterbox is right here on the horn. I'm one of them. I'm Bob. And you're welcome to jump in any way that you see fit. 877-443-2366. That means 877, the numeral 4. Head on is your toll-free method to get into the studio. You can also get in via your own nickel if you want to save us one at 304-658-5453. Email rolls into bob@headonradio.com. There's a chat room. There's endless ways for you to participate in this most interactive of media, and we are awfully, awfully glad to afford that opportunity to you. And we're very much grateful as well for those people who help us keep this whole effort on the air. I don't spend nearly enough time expressing my gratitude to our bloggers, our news ninjas, to folks like, every night I try to give credit at the end of the program to folks like John Fox, Ben Birch, my own darling Agnes, who remains busy in the background, although she's stepped back from the day-to-day operations. Somebody's got to be mommy, right? It's all amazing. And then you, listeners, participants, who contribute to make listener-supported independent media a viable and continuing force in the dialogue and discussion that should be America, but in very, very few places actually is. How grateful we are. And just to let you know, we have crossed over the halfway mark for October. And that thrills my soul. We're not halfway done with October, and we have crossed the $1,000 mark. So that means we're halfway there. We are today on the 11th day of October where we were with September's fundraising on September 30th. I don't know. Dare I hope that we can make up for September's shortfall in October as well? I know it's a lot to ask. I know it truly is. But you have all shown me and inspired me beyond words' ability to measure. So I hope that we can. If it's possible, I hope that we can, so that we can continue to bring you Strictly Confidential, this program, Mark Levine's Radio Inside Scoop, Guy James. Of course, Guy is separately funded. Let me make that abundantly clear. Joe Vecchio's Cup of Joe program will be returning Monday evening at 11 p.m. to midnight. And in short order, I'm quite certain that John Fox's All Foxed Up will return as well. We're sort of waiting for the time change to go on, because the time change between here and Australia really, really makes things a wreck. We're 14 hours different right now, and we'll be like 16 hours different when the time change comes in late October, early November. So that's why that is that way. Let's go to the phones, see what's on folks' mind. Hey, I see. Hey, you're welcome. You're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Beep, beep, beep. Hey, Bob, it's Albert.
Hey, Albert, what's up, brother?
Oh, well,
did you hang up and try another number? Did you do that?
I would never do that.
Okay,
you,
just so. Check it.
You know, I just want to start a little light for a second.
Okay.
You know,
easy, free and easy. Breathe. Going to our happy place, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there. But you know, everybody knows all the issues that we really as Americans have to face, right? You know, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, and it's not just here on the horn that we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it everywhere. Now, you know, and I said it before, NPR, my local NPR, you know, I go to bed real late at night. I'm writing and I'm doing reading and I'm all this stuff. And I'll go to bed and I'll turn the radio on and I'll just be like, listen to the radio and go to sleep with that. You know, hopefully they talk about an issue that is interesting. Hopefully they're talking about an issue, period. And I go to do that the other morning, and you know what they're talking about? You know what their big issue, and they're all, you know, that NPR, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like that, oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's so great. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever heard that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
they're talking about and laughing and giggling and just, oh, so excited about? Pies.
Pie?
Pies, yeah. Pies.
Like not mathematical pie, but no, banana mm-hmm. cream, coconut, cherry, apple, blackberry,
yeah.
blueberry.
Yeah. Oh, they had all these marvelous... Oh, anyway, I see, that's like a big problem in this country. You see, like, there are a lot of people that, you know, that's where they get... They listen to their news, and that's where they get their information from, is NPR. They don't know how to access the Internet, you know, and so they get it from the radio and TV. And it just makes me just so physically ill to think that, you know, people ask the question, why are we in the trouble we're in? Well, this is why. Because this is the level of discourse has gone from Ann Coulter talking about, you know, how John Edwards, you know,
yeah.
John Edwards is sleeping around on his wife, and she gets her source as the National Enquirer. What is that? Did you hear that? Did you hear what she said on Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, I know.
What is that?
My willingness to put Ann Coulter out on the air is limited to, you know, once every month or two, and I wouldn't have done it last night had it not been for the overt sort of warming up of the oven's nature of her wanting to perfect the Jews.
Perfect the Jews. Isn't that... Oh, it's just... She can't be real. She just can't be real. Like the thing she... Like... Oh, she just can't. That's not real. She just isn't. And it's just amazing to me. Amazing to me. I mean, it's a joke, right?
No. Sorry, it's not. I mean, it's her shtick.
Yeah.
But that's the same analysis you have to engage with Flush Flemball or any of these freakazoids. You look at them and go, no, they can't really think that way. They're doing this because it's making them millions and millions of dollars. But you know what? I'm not willing to take my brain to that place because you know what? I hold them responsible for what they say publicly, and what they say publicly, as far as I'm concerned, Albert, is who they are privately.
Oh, no doubt. They're criminals. They're just criminals. They're frauds as well. I mean, look at the news sources they cite. I mean, even when they cite Newsmax, you know, and all these other nonsensical sites, and it's just amazing. I mean, and the filth and the muck that we have to get through. That's why, you know, get right back on it. You know, that's why I laugh when everybody, oh, we got to get Hillary in the office. Nothing makes me more disgusted than that. Just not the fact of what Hillary is and what she is and what she isn't in terms of what I disagree with her on the Democratic Party platforms and all that other stuff that she wants to put up. It's the fact that I know in my heart of hearts that the minute that if we put her in the nomination, the freaking machine will go into full overdrive. It's been being built for 15 years. I'm going to have to look at Vince Foster crap, Mina Airports. I mean, that's like the hypocrisy.
Dan Burton's going to go back into the backyard and shoot more watermelons. I know.
You know, Ollie North is over here, you know, talking about Mina Air Force, you know, and doing drugs and when he was the one that was doing that. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's just one of these things that... It's not even one of these things. I got to stop saying that. I say that too much because it's not a thing. This is our life, and this is the reality we live in. You know, this is not funny anymore. It's not. It's not cute. It's not, you know, flag lapel pins. And I mean, come on now. I mean, if you couldn't see through the transparent, I mean, you know, you got to watch Schindler's List again if you think flag lapel pins.
Well, see, the funny thing, I'm amazed that the flag lapel pin can become an issue. Simply because Gary Trudeau did it 3-4 months ago. He had an entire week-long series of panels, where a Republican congressman had lost his flag lapel pin and couldn't go to work. And at one point, his wife is off panel and she says, "Honey, here's the one that's on your pajamas. You want that one?" He goes, "No, that's the informal flag lapel pin. I'd be drummed out." I've gotten to where I see the I've gotten to where I see these flag lapel pins, and I want to vomit because I remember where they started. They started. They flowed out of the right wing religion industry. Maybe a lot of others don't remember this, but you know, I'm a recovering Southern Baptist, and there was a lot of this garbage that flowed into our home. And I remember when, for a donation to his Thomas Road Baptist Church and the Moral Majority, Jerry Falwell would send you an American flag lapel pin.
I think that nails it, Bob. No, I really do. I think exactly what you just phrased nails it. Like, that is how far right we have gone. We have gone so far right in this country that Democrats not conforming to that just hideous. You know, that's the thing. Men's jewelry. Who is that that came up with that? Was it that Jon Stewart or, you know, Stephen Colbert came up and said that? You know, I really put my policies on, you know, what men's jewelry is. And that's what it is. It's fake. It's fake. I mean, it's fake patriotism. Who said it? Patriotism is the last refuge for scoundrels.
Sounds like Mark Twain to me.
Huh?
Sounds like Mark Twain to me.
Yeah, well, wouldn't be surprising. One of our greats. We need more of them. But that's what it is. It is that. And then names are not coming to my head today. But the other man who stated about fascism coming to America, wrapped in the American flag, holding a cross. You know, these are things that I just cannot allow my mind to forget about. I can't just sit there and let. You know, forget about this stuff as it's coming to be. It's coming into fruition. You know, and I know you don't like to think about a conspiracy theory in terms of Iraq being the quag, you know, being like almost constructed chaos. You know, but I have to disagree with you there. I think that it's important that it's chaos there. I think that that's one of the reasons. I mean, they're the ones making money hand over fist. It's just they're making money hand over fist. They're stealing from us.
Well, sure they are. Sure they are. And no, let's not make any mistake, Albert. I never said that they didn't intend to make a fortune on this. But they intended to make it a lot easier. You know,
ideally.
You know, it's like a Three Stooges episode. You know, the bank heist is supposed to go one way, but it goes the other. And yet, somehow or another, the Stooges survive going into the sunset at the closing credits.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. It doesn't ring as solid to me. I don't know, maybe it's just my paranoia. I just can't get around.
Now, some of this stuff is deliberate. We know now that the reason that Rummy told Shinseki to hit the bricks, when Shinseki said it's going to take a half a million soldiers to do the job, was because Rummy was already on board with the plan to put in, you know, maybe a couple of 100,000 American soldiers and fill out the rest with mercenaries.
Yeah.
Now, that, you know, that was part of it.
But hang on now.
Okay.
Now, we have these mercenaries over there, right? Now, these mercenaries, they have a vested interest, for the longer they stay there, the more money they make. The more chaos that's there, the better they do, because the more they're needed.
Right, that's why they generate the chaos. I mean, I'm a little bit taken aback by the current coverage of Blackwater, because anybody who's been paying attention, as Mark Levine has pointed out, that's what they've been doing from the get-go. The whole burnt bodies in Fallujah thing was because they were driving around trying to create chaos.
Yep.
I mean, there are videos out there that have been on YouTube for months, if not a year or more years, of these guys giggling and shooting at civilians behind them. For the hell of it.
Yep, to music. Setting it to music.
They serve under no flag. They answer to no general. They are constrained by no law. That part of it is deliberate.
Yeah.
Understand, but I just don't believe... Because I know how these guys talk and how they act. I've seen them for 6.5 years. They think they're smarter than everybody. It's like the old saying about crazy people think they're the only sane ones.
They're actually idiots. They're street thugs. They're punks. They're dumbasses.
Yeah, but I
because it would require a level of genius, Albert, for what you and others have said about this being deliberate. It would require a level of genius that is so deep and so dark and so broad that we should all just go home, because we can't defeat genius on that level. If it's genius, we're done. If they're street punks, we got a chance. Because all you got to do with a street punk is ball bat him, and he'll go running away.
But see, that's why here we go right back into both sides of the political aisle are wearing the lapel pins, Bob. I mean, we got to sit here and really kind of look at this. I mean, I believe they are a little bit more evil geniuses, but the way to defeat that kind of stuff is to expose it, is to recognize it, accept it, and expose it, because they are profiteering. They want the chaos. They want to steal. They want to do this stuff. They want that because they definitely – Iraq wasn't the beginning. Iraq wasn't even – really even the whole thing. Iraq is just the staging grounds for holding that region, okay? And as I said, and I keep saying it, you know, like, every time it comes around, you know, about a year goes by, and people start realizing, yeah, you know, it was about, a big part of this was the oil. And then and then all of a sudden you start, oh, these people think it's about the oil, it's about democracy, blah, 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 blah. You know, that just don't ring true to me at all. That just is the most outrageous fallacy I've ever heard of in my life. We are not in Iraq for democracy. We don't care a squat. And I don't mean we, as you and I. I mean them. These people in charge. These people, these supposed servants of ours, they don't care about democracy. They don't care about democracy here, Bob. Right? To them, it's just the game. That's just they're players. They come out here.
Democracy is only a word, Albert. It's only a word, democracy. There was
Constitution.
Nobody. No. I'm sorry. It really is. It's only a word because, well, anybody who had studied any extended history of the Middle East would know that you were going to be on the short end of a long uphill climb. If you were going to impose a democracy, you know, that should have been big flashing light number one. Democracy is not imposed. But if you were going to impose democracy on a people whose socio-political, religio-cultural system is predicated on a hereditary caliphate, and you're going to impose it at the historic capital of that hereditary caliphate, okay? Anybody who's that's not a mark of overreaching genius. That's the mark of a moron.
But hang on, though. They didn't. That's what I'm saying. They didn't go there with the. You know, you're kind of in a sense. You're showing what I'm saying. They didn't go over there and with the intention of democracy. They tell us democracy. That's what they say. They tell us this garbage for us to swallow it, for us to go, oh, that's a noble purpose. Yeah, democracy. They should have what we have.
Yeah, how quick
did how long
did you go along with it? You look
never.
Up and...
I was against Afghanistan.
Nah. Okay.
I was against Afghanistan. There's no reason for those people over there to pay for what is alleged to come from Afghanistan. It was from Saudi Arabia. I was against all. I understand about the Afghans, you know, being religious freaks, and I understand that. But you know, it's not them that suffer. It's, you know, they're the ones. It's not them that have to sit there and worry about their children getting dysentery. The children in Afghanistan don't deserve the Taliban, but they certainly don't deserve to get destroyed by, you know, B-52 bombers strafing an area, you know. So that's kind of my whole thing. I was against Iraq. I was against Iraq One. I was against Afghanistan. I'm against all this garbage because this stuff is nonsense. It's the military industrial complex to the T of what Eisenhower warned us about. I mean, this is one of these things that, you know, they always like to try to claim about, oh, democracy, Republican, blah 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 blah. You know, like the thing is this super state that Truman signed into gear, okay, this super second state, that's the one that controls this area. That's the one that controls this garbage. They tell us what they want us to know. They have a freaking playbook. And you know what? That playbook is exposed, Bob, because they just came out with, the Democrats just came out and they said something about terrorism and how they had to frame it, right? The government tells them how they have to frame it and use terror in order to scare the people so they can get these positions passed without anybody sitting there rising up and making a stand like you and I and everyone here needs to do. You know, because if we sit here and just lay back and hey, George Bush has played the idiotic retard to a T. And you know what? There are a lot of times I sit there and I look at him and it's a genuine idiot. But
yeah, okay. Yeah, but Albert, how do you deal with Jimmy Carter? I mean, I was railing last night and I said, you know, so and so wasn't a genius president, so and so wasn't a genius president. And somebody took me to task for Jimmy Carter and said, you know, damn, he's a nuclear scientist. How much more genius do you want? Yeah, okay, I'm not going to fight that battle. But here's Jimmy Carter who came out and said, Dick Cheney is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I think that is without regard to whether Dick Cheney thinks he's a genius or Dick Cheney is a moron, okay? But when Jimmy Carter comes out and says that Dick Cheney is a disaster, I think he's opining on my side of this little debate.
In a second, for a second, hang on. What kind of, in a sense, what, you know, like what he's saying, in what you're also saying, that's one level of it, right? That is one level. He is a disaster. Of course he is. This whole damn administration's a disaster for the world, okay? But at the same time, I think it's silly to cut ourselves short and think that these bastards don't know what they're doing. They look the way they play the dummies of this country, okay? They play the dummies. Now, they knew from the get-go that you, myself, Jimmy Carter, everybody on the horn, everybody listening, Susan, everybody, they knew that we wouldn't buy this democracy crap. Okay, they knew that, but that didn't matter because the majority does. The majority wants to have this good intentions. They want it, and that's what the road to hell is paved with good intentions because it's proven.
Look, Albert, nobody ever went broke underestimating the American people. Okay, I mean that's fact. Okay, let me try to bolster my side of this a little bit.
All right.
Over at the Washington Post today, I know citing the Washington Post is a little bit
Inquirer.
Al Kamen, who's a columnist there,
yes.
Notes in regard to Dick Cheney the story when he shot his buddy in the face.
Uh-huh.
And he has apparently gotten Dan Bartlett, you know, who was a director of communications, exalted grand noble pish-posh in the Bush administration. He's apparently, you know, Dan Bartlett's talking. And he said, when Cheney shot his buddy in the face, and this is a quote from Bartlett, we couldn't get hold of him for quite a bit of time. Well, we know why. He was drunk.
Hammered, yep.
They were strategizing on their own, which has always got me worried. I called down there, and I finally get a hold of some of the people traveling with him, and they kind of laid out their strategy. We're not going to talk about this, they said. We're going to give it to the Corpus Christi Caller Times in the morning. Bartlett said he was stunned. I mean, the little paper couldn't find a reporter because it was the weekend. All right? This is straight out of Kamen's column. And Bartlett goes on, he says, so finally I said, I have to talk with the vice president directly. I have to intervene in this. So he gets Cheney on the phone and says, Mr. Vice President, I know you don't have any traveling press with you, but we need to pull together a pool, either get them down there, get you on the phone with them. We need to work this out. Bartlett says, dead silence. And then he hears, this is how we're going to handle it. In other words, through the little newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Vice President, hang up the phone and the rest is history, Bartlett recalled. Okay, this is not the action of a calculating evil genius, okay?
Hang on. What fallout did he have? He had no fallout from this. The only fallout from this is what you and I are talking about. Most Americans forgot all about it. they forgot all about it. They don't care about
now,
it.
Now, see, wait. I disagree.
Okay.
Because in many ways, this was the turning point on Dick Cheney.
Really?
He had been Darth Vader until then for those of us who loathe, detest, and despise him. Okay? For those who follow him and think that the sun rises and sets out his posterior, he had been without sin. He could do no wrong. From the Cheney shot his friend in the face episode onward, his reputation has seriously eroded. Now, I can't say this for a fact, but I'll bet you can go back and track the disapproval ratings, you know, not to any particular thing with the Iraq War, but there was profound negative fallout for the Bush administration out of the shot a guy in a face episode. My God, John Stewart's take on that was seen by more people than saw O'Reilly's take or the network's take. Okay?
I'll give you that. I'll give you that in the fact that, just from my standpoint, I'm so far the other side of this person that it's hard for me to even kind of contemplate.
And one of the reasons that it worked to his detriment is because, you know, there's a lot of gun loving, gun owning people in America. Okay, and I'll grant the Second Amendmenteers who write me and listen to this program, the majority of those gun owners in America are law-abiding, okay? And to hear the account of how it happened, you know, not by some liberal media, but out of the words, out of the mouths the vice president's people themselves, even those people, Albert, had to look up and go, holy crap! You know, here I am teaching my 12-year-old about gun safety, and Dick Cheney, who is a great white hunter, has just violated every rule that I've taught my kids. Every rule that is basic to the safe handling of firearms. He just spit on it.
Well, now, hang on, though.
And that hurt him.
Yeah, all right. However, I got to come at it from a little different perspective. Yeah, granted, everybody's going to make individual mistakes, and there ain't no way in hell you'll ever catch me defending Dick Cheney. You're kind of making me feel like that. It's getting me...
Yeah, there's a shower coming for you, isn't there?
Oh, I'm going to have to go get some renal care over here in a second. But, it's not Dick Cheney. And, you know, like people like I think we like to put these ideologues on a platform and say, see, it's Bush the one that's planning it, or it's Cheney the one that's planning it. And I don't think it's quite like that. These people are told what to do. And I do believe this. I just think that, you know, these people said, I got this idea. You know, like, they come up with an idea in this little group, and they have this idea. And everybody plays their little role, and because of that, it works the way it does. I mean, look back in the day, all right? You could sit there and say the same thing about George H.W. Bush, right? You could say the same thing. Oh, he's a dummy. Oh, he's a this, or he's a that, or he's a that. And you know what? That was the best trick he ever pulled. He ain't no dummy. The guy ran the Bay of Pigs this, and he did this, and he dirty tricks up the yin-yang. There's even connections with him and JFK. I mean, there's so many things with these bastards that it's tough for me to sit there and just say, oh, well, yeah, he puked in some Japanese guy's lap. He's an idiot. You know,
I'm not asking you to do that, Albert.
No, I know, but it just rings to me of that to kind of like just let them think, oh, well, they're, you know, they're bumbling goofs and they're just this and this. I mean, you look at the moves.
No, I didn't say they're bumbling goofs. I said they're street punks, okay?
They are, well.
Okay? There's a big difference.
They're definitely.
Well, you know, there's one way to test and either prove or disprove my theory. Unfortunately, nobody's going to do it.
I'll try. No.
No, you can't.
I know.
We need the Democratic Party to treat a street punk like a street punk. We may see. You know what? That test may be coming. If we can get the votes in the House to overturn the S-CHIP veto, that's a little bit of that test. That's balling your fist up and punching the bully in the face.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We're 13 or 14 votes down at this point.
They went after that little 12-year-old kid, and that is just so unbelievable to me that I don't even know how much. That's things I don't like to think about. You know, I mean, it's things that, you know. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I told you I got little kids, and the world isn't getting any better every day. We wake up. It's a whole new thing of, you know, another bunch of freaking hypocrites with dildos and latex and all this stuff, and that's the comedy side of it, as tragic as it is, you know. And then it turns into all these other horror stories that, I mean, it makes the things that, like, make Abu Ghraib seem like, well, yeah, so, you know, I mean, so it's like I do get sensitive about this kind of stuff. The way they attack these 12-year-old kid and his sister, they go after the family, they put their address up so people, you know, it's the same thing with all these freaking,
hey, Albert. You're making my point for me, brother. Those are the actions of street punks.
It is.
That's what a thug does.
Oh, hey, just because they're multimillionaires doesn't mean that they're not, you know. I mean, Lucky Luciano, you know, the guy was a freaking illiterate, ignorant retard, but he still was a criminal of mass proportions and can get you killed with the snap of a finger. You know, and yeah, they make mistakes. They're greedy, and that's the deal that we're seeing here. I think they are smart enough, though. I think they are smart enough in a global strategic sense, especially when you have groups like the CFR and all this other junk. You got these groups; they have these guidelines. This is what they want to see. This is what we have to do. You know, we need a new Pearl Harbor in order to get this done. And I think these are people that they want to put into the whole gear. You sit here and you go and you pull these strings and we tell you to pull them. They do this. All right, you make a little money putting them in your pocket. That's what they are. They're just, it's like, you know, people, they try to think, you know, like Tony Soprano was a mafia guy. Well, he wasn't. He was just a wise guy. And wise guys aren't mafia guys. They're kind of like mafia guys, but they don't have that prestige. And now, people can try to say that the, you know, politicians are mafia guys, but they're kind of like mafia guys. They just have more prestige, and they have more.
Well,
power.
Except Rudy, he has real ties to the mob.
Rudy is a disgusting, disgraceful bag of turd. I hate that guy so much I can't even stand it. And I'm from New York, and I grew up when he was mayor. And I'll tell you what, I'm not even going to say it. Guy's disgusting.
Hey, Albert, I got a bunch of people lined up.
Most
of which are probably busy signals because nobody has any patience with me. I'll talk to you soon. All right, thanks. Bye-bye. And I don't know how we came down on this, but you know, they're either street punks or evil geniuses.
Next time.
All right, see you, Albert.
All right,
later.
Bye bye.
All right, let's see if you're actually a person who's there. Nope, you're not. Hey, welcome
God
to the program.
Greetings. I am for real.
Yes, you are.
How's it going, Mr. Kincaid? Long time, sadly, no speak.
It's well, Spike, I tell you what, it's, you know, I don't know, street punks versus geniuses, you know.
I'll tell you
doing thing. It again.
I got a few examples of street punks. I actually called on something different, but while I'm on the subject, while you're on the subject, I'll keep it going, actually, with the street punks. Last week I was at the NAACP in Easton, which is it's definitely one of the better organizations for democracy in this town because they're the biggest sponsors every election, primary and general, for candidate debates, and they work harder than anyone else to bring the candidates to the people so you can actually meet the people. And in Easton, for the most part, being such a heavily Democratic town, is very it's a town where you're expected to really talk to the population. So it's great to go to these type of things, and it was in the basement of a church last week, and they had it. And lo and behold, as I like to refer to him as the Minute Clan, a.k.a., as everyone talks about him, the Minute Man, he lives in the suburbs of Easton, ironically around the corner from Larry Holmes. He wears a sleeveless, where he cut the sleeves off of a Minute Man T-shirt, wears Doc Martens with red laces, has very little hair in his head, drives a Nazi red Chevy pickup truck with many, many redneck type of stickers on them.
They can have my guns when they pry them from my cold, dead fingers.
Right. One of those, and best part of all, actually, a sticker dead center in his rear window says European Pride Heritage with the cross in a circle, better known as the White Pride logo.
Yep.
He's the biggest champion in this area on the matter, and he showed up to debates and of course, asked his silly question about what are they going to do about illegal immigrants. And obviously, who better to promote the right-wing agenda than a true street thug, a skinhead? But it just gets better from there, actually. I didn't feel well the other night and left work a little early, went to the supermarket right by my shop. And as I was walking towards the end, I went to make a turn. I noticed as I'm making a turn onto an aisle, the guy walking in front of me had a shirt on the back that said RushLimbaugh.com. So I just let him say, Rush Limbaugh, and I walked down the aisle. Then I ended up behind him as he was leaving the express lane. And I just kind of shot him a look as he was giving me a look for, I guess, laughing at him. And he left with his woman, I don't know, girlfriend, whatever. And the guy's like my age, late 20s, early 30s. So as I'm getting out in the parking lot, you know, I'm not, like, looking to cause trouble, but I see he's getting into a Jaguar, a new white Jaguar.
No.
So I was like, I got to let this one know what I think. So at first I was just like, yeah, leave it to someone of privilege to be a Limbaugh fan. So I walked to my car, and as he drives by, he's looking at me. So I decided I wanted to tell him just how Rush Limbaugh truly is number one in the ratings. And decidedly showed what number in the ratings is number one on my hand. And he comes back around, I guess not appreciating the middle finger, and comes running out of his Jag, bumping up in the chest. Come on, let's go. You want to go? Who are you? How dare you give me a finger? And I just let him know, hey, that's what I think of Rush Limbaugh and anyone who's going to promote his show these days. And you're a
liberal.
You know, no, not a liberal. He was using more language like the slang for female parts or a cat. And, you know, because I wouldn't get in a fight with him, which, of course, goes to kind of prove just how brainwashed these idiots are that they honestly think any form of violence.
Well, put a checkbox over by street punks.
But, and of course, best part of all, I never saw the front of his shirt till he came running at me, and it was the Club Gitmo shirt, even classic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. There's a guy I rightfully should have punched, but of course I didn't. But hey, he has his.
Hey, you know, you were battling your essential Philly nature, dude. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, well, he wasn't. I was bigger than him, so I. When you get in those situations, I guess he was trying to prove to his woman he was tough, and you know, getting right up in my face. But he was like 5'6", 170, at, you know, with lead in his pockets, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's how you end up going on death row in the state of Pennsylvania. So it wasn't something I had to get out of fighting when they started giving me legal fines in high school with the authorities. So that was something I had to give up years ago. But, yeah, that was someone who definitely deserved to get punched. But I did enjoy the fact that he thought the best way to resolve that disagreement would be by duking it out. Great, again, street thug kind of mentality, you know, try to break someone's dumbs. But that is the mentality of them. I mean, rightfully, I'm sure some people say, "Well, why'd you give him the finger? That was kind of obnoxious." But so is the T-shirt. You know, it was kind of, "Hey, you have your freedom of speech, I have mine." And
he's
you know how many people gave me the middle finger when I was protesting going into Iraq, you know, 4 or 5 years ago before we went.
And worse, I'm sure.
Oh, the barrage of vulgarities. Yeah, in a way, I'm almost just kind of, how's the shoe fit on the other foot for you there, kind of.
Yeah, how's that Iraq war working out for you there, buddy?
Yeah, well, and obviously I've learned from Iraq, violence doesn't solve problems a la Iraq, but of course a Rush Limbaugh fan hasn't figured that one out. But what really did him in was the Jaguar. If he would have been getting in a pickup truck or anything else, I probably would have just let him slide, but you get into a brand new white Jag.
Young enough to be serving in Iraq.
I'm coming after you.
Young enough to be serving in Iraq, right?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Like I said, he was like my age, late 20s. He was probably driving his daddy's Jag, you know.
Yeah.
He's inherited a wealth, you know, a typical W. Bush story. But, whatever. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure his wife or girlfriend was yelling at him to get back in the car when he was doing that. She was very embarrassed by it, so I'm sure it caused him great problems beyond that. And, you know, maybe if he's nuts enough, he's going to look for more fights with liberals, and he'll get himself arrested eventually. So,
one may hope.
One can only hope. One can only
hope. Hey, man, sorry about
that. Caught the Nazareth, Pennsylvania, of guys in white Jags with Rush Limbaugh shirts.
By the way, sorry about the Phils, dude.
well, hey, at least they. I was at the last one of the year when they clinched, so hey, you know, you got to take it in baby steps.
Hey, they played their hearts out this season.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think they had too much rest. They had that extra rest waiting on who they were going to play, and I think that did them in a little bit. But it was exciting being at that last game of the regular season when they clinched. I mean, so loud when they got that final out that I could not hear myself screaming at the top of my lungs, and I could scream loud.
And it was Philly, and it wasn't booing.
Oh, yeah. Well, trust me, when people cheer in Philly, it's even louder than the boos. People think that the boos are deafening, the cheers are even louder. You know, and the rally towels are almost blinding. I had a good time. I made it in the Thursday paper of the Philadelphia Daily News in a picture, waving my rally towel and my Joe Torre model catcher's mitt in my other hand.
Oh, cool.
Joe Torre
model catcher's mitt?
Yeah, it was my catcher's mitt when I played Little League years ago. It was a hand-me-down from my dad's friend.
It had to be. I mean, you know, I'm 44, and mine was a Johnny Bench model, for the love of God.
Yeah. It's been around a long time. It has my name and the name of the kid who, because someone my dad was buddies with, kid, he was like late teens, early 20s when it was given to me, because they didn't have a use for it anymore. So it was pretty old back in, you know, 20 years ago. And when I got it, and I just decided to bring it to that game. I had a good season. I figured, well, if I'm not paying attention to the last second, I'm not worried about catching as much as keeping one from cracking my skull open. This will be perfect. And
yeah,
it seemed like I became the good luck charm with that mitt. And then best of all, on my way out on Sunday after they clinched, I ended up on the local Fox affiliate of all networks, reciting Tug McGraw's old line from the 1980 World Series parade, saying New York City can take this championship and stick it because we're number one, and which it was a perfect time to use that once again in Philly's history. I mean, you know, with the collapse of the New York Mets, and you know that all year, you know, everyone talked about how great the Mets were, and really the Phillies were.
You camera hound,
good. So. But it was great to be there. So, and a real quick note, anyone who's an arena football fan, the Nashville Cats yesterday officially collapsed, so the league is down a team. That was Tim McGraw's operation there. But onward to a few other things real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Today I got a really cool thing. My friend opened up a local business here. She sells, like, she makes postcards. She also sells them. People do collect postcards, and I found this, and I had to buy it to help her with her new business the first week it was open. Especially this week, what it is in history, it was a Chai Guerrera postcard set, 20 cards in like a little cigar box. And as much as that infuriates the true communists of the capitalization of that, I just found the novelty of it, especially in the light of this week. It was like one of those, oh, I got to get this thing. I mean, yeah. the cigar box is what really pushed it over the edge for me there with Cuba and all, and I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, it was 40 years ago that the role model for the Bush administration's operations of the world was executed in Chai Guerrera, because, I mean, he believed to the day they executed him that if they just stayed the course, they would win, and they would bring freedom and prevail in Bolivia. And how it's like the same talking points with this administration and the war, and it kind of cracks me up that the ultra right wing is more communist than anyone else, essentially.
You know, I am hearing that more and more and more, Spike, and there's a hell of a lot of truth in it.
Yeah, and then
I mean, we know now, it's not speculation, there's no questions about it, we just know. I think I mentioned it last night. Because of the New York Times revelations, the torture techniques that the Bush administration is so fond of are a direct lift. I mean, it would be plagiarism if it was a student paper. It's a direct lift from the old Soviet techniques.
Yeah, oh yeah. In a way, who really did win the Cold War? You know, they wanted to give Reagan the credit, but he might have been the one who actually blew it, and the people he inspired to come after him. And, and also, speaking of, I read the New York Times when I get it for free when I close at work, and we throw out the ones that we didn't sell. I take one with me. And I did find it very interesting how the head of Blackwater, by the way, with his Republican ties, but not only uber Republican ties, but uber religious rights ties in Dobson, Focus on the Family, groups like this with deep ties to him and his family, and then they are blowing away rounds like it's going out of style in Iraq, hitting whoever stands in their way. And if anyone really wants to see what Blackwater does, just go on YouTube and just start looking at footage from Iraq. About half of it comes from, quote, contractors. And it's just them nailing cars and just in panic mode over the littlest. I mean, you know, the roadside bombs, yeah, those are frightening things. But there's other things where it's like the littlest thing spooks them and they just take off shooting at anyone who's in their way. And, you would think guys making, you know, what is it, $100,000 to $250,000 a year to be there, as opposed to our troops making peanuts and half of the peanuts at best. You know, I mean, nothing. They're just getting scraps of shells in comparison to the true nuts that these guys over at Blackwater are getting. You know, they have great armor compared to the U.S. troops and stuff. Why are they so scared? You know, I thought they were supposed to be the quote best of the best, apparently, that our Defense Department apparently can't train people to do, so they'll hire others to do it, is essentially the message they've sent, you know. And then these ones go and they shoot up towns, and of course the people over there just know what, you know, they see white people, maybe black people, that, you know, obviously people who are not from Iraq, clearly when you look at them, you know, not to be racist, but it's absolutely true. And, you know, they see them shooting up a town, so the next band of them they see coming in similar vehicles looking like that comes are the ones they attack. And unfortunately, these contractors start the violence, and then the insurgents and the people looking to retaliate take it out on the troops, often who had nothing to do with what went on. And, you know, ultimately, a lot of Americans have given their lives, and a lot of it indirectly and directly, because of these idiots, far right wing hypocrites over at Blackwater, and, you know, the people who are in the war business to make money, not to solve conflict.
Well, Spike, the fact that the Blackwater thing, but, you know, you mentioned they're making $200,000 a year. That's why they shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah.
Because they want to get home to enjoy the $200 a year. And blowing away a few brown people just doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, of getting home and getting the cement pond put in the backyard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, and hey, let me ask you real quick. You say your friend is doing the postcard gig, right?
Yeah.
Is she online? Does she? I mean, is there a web address we can give out? Maybe help her sell a few cards.
She doesn't. For the shop, she doesn't have a website, but. If you're ever in the city of Easton, it's called the Eastonian. It was the old Hotel Easton many years ago. Now it has nice condos up above, stores below. It's on Northampton Street, right as you cross the free bridge from Philipsburg. So it's in a location you can't miss if you ever come to downtown Easton.
Well, tell her she needs an online presence, and we'll be happy to share the info.
Yeah, yeah, Laney's little shop in the city of Easton, if anyone's ever in the neighborhood. But, I think she has a communitycards.com for her business where she makes postcards as well. I'm not sure about that, but if you Google the name,
well, talk to her and see if she's going to have an online presence and let us know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, not a problem at all.
All right, cool, Spike. It's always a joy hearing from you. You know, keep up the good work. Keep giving hell to the guys in the Limbaugh T-shirts. Those Club Gitmo shirts just drive me batty to begin with.
Yeah, and also I got to make sure I got to keep that skinhead from talking too much at times when he's trying to interrupt debates.
I believe in free speech and everything, but
I don't mind him asking his questions. But when the candidates go to give his question, he starts badgering them because he disagrees with what they say. That's when he's got to.
Yeah, that's when he's got to.
That's
shut
when
up.
His time's over, and that's what I did at the last debate, and I got a lot of kudos for that.
You're gonna make a name for yourself there in Easton, Spike, if you're not careful, brother.
Yeah, and a rap sheet also, I'm sure with it.
Such an optimist. All right, good talking to you, brother.
All right, have a good one.
Later now. Bye. Our good friend Spike in Easton, PA. Okay, let's check the phone line, see if there's anybody else here. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, it's Kevin again from D.C. I couldn't resist getting back on if you indulge me, Bob.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know how you get back at these people like a street thug style?
How's that?
Do what needs to be done to, Kissinger. How he's wanted in like 80 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't go to like half the planet. You know, whenever Rush Limbaugh travels on one of his drug orgy fests in the Dominican Republic,
follow
up the Dominican authorities to pick him up and surrender him according to international treaty.
Wow.
Make it that these people cannot travel anywhere. And believe you me, once you make an example out of Kissinger and Rush Limbaugh, it starts going up the line to less important people who are in this administration, like Condoleezza Rice, when their terms are up. And then give these people the option. Either you surrender, you open up the books and surrender your fortune for audit, or you know what? We put you in front of the international tribunals, which I know they don't want.
I would imagine you're probably right. Not a bad idea. Well, I hope, but then again, that's why Kissinger doesn't travel to some countries. There's places Henry Kissinger just can't go, like you say. Chile.
Well, you know what? If he spread enough foreign aid around, there would be a lot more places that Kissinger can't go, or any of these people can't go.
Yeah,
I'll be willing to pay that.
But that is, you know, that is punching back. And I think it would be amazing if we would just work up our guts and do it once and watch them run, how much we would learn.
For once, you know, we need to start cooperating with the United Nations and being...
Oh, you know, yeah, you remind me of something. I got an email today. It amazed me. The UN Convention on Women and the Rights of Women. I'm looking for it now. It was signed by President Jimmy Carter in 1980, Kevin.
Yeah.
To this day, 179 nations have passed it. Okay? No, I'm sorry, 185 countries have ratified it. The United States hasn't. Neither has Sudan. Neither has Somalia. Neither has Iran. And there's a new move afoot because Senator Biden has said that he will see it out of committee in the coming year. And what it is called is the Convention on Rights of Women. The House of Representatives has nothing to do with this, Kevin.
Yeah.
But you can urge your senators to pass it. I'm writing to Byrd and Rockefeller simply because, you know, how antediluvian is it? Why? You know, it's the same thing with health care. It's the same.
I think we're so free, and, we're the freest and richest people on the planet.
Yeah, you know, yay us. We're standing shoulder to shoulder with Iran, Sudan, and Somalia. Somebody strike up the band. Let's sing the national anthem.
You know, but that's something for us and our listeners. You know, start surrendering these people internationally to international authorities when they travel abroad. Or even some of these blue states. Hardcore blue states.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, just as, you know, and submit to their authority. Because we have treaties with a lot of these countries, or even with interstate treaties.
Oh, hey, you know, the Geneva Conventions have the force of constitutional law because they are ratified by a constitutional process. But these street punks, these thugs, have no regard for it. None.
Oh, yeah,
none whatsoever.
We got to get rid of two of the punks on the Supreme Court. You know, even when they travel abroad, because they could be held accountable for a certain thing.
if they were under indictment. So far, nobody has.
Clarence Thomas probably broke a law or two that I could think of.
I'm sure he's broken them. I'm sure he's broken them like Moses slamming the Ten Commandments to the ground. But he hasn't been indicted for any war crimes in any countries. But, you know, they serve for life. And, you know, the right wing is fond of telling people to pray for the death of various and sundry Supreme Court justices. It backfired on them last time because they were praying for Justice Stevens to drop dead. And lo and behold, there went Rehnquist.
That one's for the right one.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I got to roll on. It's news time, brother.
Okay.
Good idea, though. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Later. Now, what do you think? We got another hour coming up. Jump right in if you want to. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. Or 304-658-5453. We'll be back after the news. This is The Horn.
The roof is on fire. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire.
The Quality News Network. U.S. military officials say an attack on a reported al-Qaeda meeting killed 19 insurgents, 15 civilians, including 9 children. The air and ground attack northwest of the capital was targeting senior al-Qaeda members. American troopers are presently looking over the scene on the ground to gather more information. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is downplaying a New York Times report that says the U.S. Marine Corps wants to pull out of Iraq and focus on Afghanistan, leaving the Iraqi war to the U.S. Army. Gates said he hasn't seen such a plan and no one has proposed it to him. After the recent controversy over private security companies such as Blackwater USA, the State Department is considering phasing out or limiting their use. The Associated Press reports that some contracts may be canceled. Victims and families of victims of the Blackwater shooting in Baghdad on September 16th are now suing the company. A legal advocacy group filed the suit today in U.S. court. Turkey has withdrawn its ambassador to the U.S. in response to the approval of a House bill that calls the killings of Armenians nearly a century ago genocide. The ambassador is expected to stay in Turkey for consultations. A bomb attack at one of India's most revered Islamic shrines in Rajasthan has killed 3 and wounded 18. The blast happened when worshippers were gathering for a religious celebration. No word yet on who carried out that attack. Speaking with reporters on a flight to Moscow, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice today accused Iran of lying about the purpose of its nuclear program. Rice said there's no doubt Tehran wants nuclear weapons and that it has a history of lying to the International Atomic Energy Agency. A Chinese government spokesman says China strongly opposes the U.S. decision to award the Congressional Gold Medal to the Dalai Lama. President Bush will meet with the exiled Tibetan spiritual leader next week. Beijing says the move is interference in its internal affairs. Supporters trying to draft former Vice President Democrat Al Gore to run for president in 2008 are raising thousands of dollars for petition drives and media campaigns, including a full-page advertisement in today's New York Times. Gore's representatives, however, indicate he has no interest in running. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil, with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
According to government statistics, arthritis is the nation's leading cause of disability. About a third of U.S. adults have work limitations because of the chronic condition. The treasurer of the state of North Carolina is asking federal officials to probe the CEO of Countrywide in the wake of his recent stock sales. The treasurer wants the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to investigate the sale, which occurred just as the subprime mortgage crisis was growing. According to data compiled by a company which tracks home foreclosures in the U.S., the foreclosure rate in September was about one in every 557 households. That's down slightly from August, but still nearly double what it was a year ago. In September, two-thirds of retailers missed their sales expectations. Retailers such as Target and JCPenney blame warm weather and declining confidence, consumer confidence, in the wake of the housing market problems. Gold is currently trading at $756.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude oil is at $83.08 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 64 points to close at 14,015. The NASDAQ was also down 39 points. The S&P 500 was down 8 points to close at 1554. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Almost 6 minutes past the hour. And we'll go into hour number three with a little bit of upbeat good news. Just watching in the chat room, I saw a remark by our good friend Nanette. Hey, y'all, guess what? We won another battle in the fight against mountaintop removal. Pretty inspiring, too. A lot of hard work goes into this, and you know what? Your spiritual support, your letters, your calls go into that. Basically, it's a federal ruling out of the Southern District of West Virginia. The federal judge is Judge Robert C. Chambers. And the language of the decision is pretty profound. Our good friend Judy Bonds of Coal River Mountain Watch, who is just a dynamo, said the judge just gave hope to other affected residents that live in communities near this type of destructive illegal mining. We have hope now that coal companies will no longer be allowed to mine coal in our homes. Judge Chambers has granted a temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction against a mountaintop removal mine, proposed valley fills at the Callisto mine in Boone County, West Virginia. Judge Chambers noted that the environmental groups who brought the suit, quote, made a strong showing that the permits issued by the Army Corps of Engineers are arbitrary and capricious, contrary to law, and contrary to the economic and environmental balance struck by Congress in the passage of the relevant environmental statutes. These valley fills would have destroyed over a mile, some 5,750 feet, of streams and tributaries of Roach Branch, Dry Branch, and Lem White Branch of a stream called Pond Fork in Boone County. All those streams feed what is called the Little Coal River. And the order halts the company's plan to begin new valley fill activities at the site until a full hearing can be had on the challenge to the Callisto permit.
I'm so proud of the hard work that is done by people that I am proud to call friend. At Coal River Mountain Watch, at the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, at the West Virginia Highlands Conservancy, at the Appalachian Center for the Economy and the Environment, and at Public Justice. Cindy Rank is with the West Virginia Highlands Conservancy. She said, inch by inch, mile after mile, these illegal fills are changing the face of West Virginia, burying valuable stream valleys and destroying the lives of people who have lived in these valleys for generations. We're grateful for Judge Chambers' ruling. No one wants to put another person out of work, but the promise of jobs based on illegal permits is not fair either. Because you see, that's what happens. These permits get challenged, and the likes of Massey Energy come screaming out into the media claiming the environmental tree-hugging enviro-Nazis are trying to take good jobs from West Virginians and contribute to the economy. Well, you know, bootleggers and moonshiners used to pay pretty good money to the boys who'd run the shine on the back roads away from the deputies and the revenuers. Didn't make it any less illegal. And that is the point here. This isn't an effort to stop a legal activity. What my friends at Coal River Mountain Watch and OVEC and the Highlands Conservancy and the Appalachian Center for the Economy and the Environment, what they're doing is trying to enforce the law. If there was a stoplight in your neighborhood and little school children had a crosswalk there and a truck barreled through and ran over several children every day, would we tolerate it when the guy operating the truck said, I've got a good job. You're going to take away my good job. He's killing children. Jesus. No, you'd enforce the law. You'd make them stop at the crosswalk. This is no different. This is simply a matter of trying to make the coal companies that have raped this state for over 100 years simply obey the law. I have to obey the law. Coal River Mountain Watch's members have to obey the law. The membership of the West Virginia Highlands Conservancy and the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition have to obey the law, or by God, they will come and get us. But nobody seems willing to come to go and get the flagrant. Flagrant. You know, mind you, this is not a shade. This isn't a degree of difference. This isn't a little bit here, or maybe it's a little different, or, you know, if we just interpret the law a little differently, then it's not illegal. It's none of that. It is a flagrant violation of the law. And all we want is for the law to be enforced. You know, the right-wingers in the gun community are forever saying, you know, we don't need no new gun laws. We just need the laws that we got to be enforced. Well, you know what? We environmentalists are down with you there in the gun community, pals. We don't need new laws. We need the laws that we have to be enforced. Because if you enforce those laws, mountaintop removal simply cannot happen, period, at all, ever, anywhere. And there is no reason except for corporate greed to do it. It has nothing to do with America's energy security. There are other ways to get the coal. You don't have to destroy homes. You don't have to commit ethnic cleansing against families in valleys that have been there for 300 years. You don't have to do it. You don't have to take an industry that employed 150,000 people 25 years ago and put 135,000 of those people out of work. Because that's what mountaintop removal did. You don't have to bust unions. All you have to do is follow the law. And I am so proud, so very, very proud of the people who night and day work desperately, tirelessly, filled with heart and brains, and impervious to the slings and arrows of an ungrateful, terrified, manipulated citizenry in this state. They work. And they work to make sure that there is an at least slightly non-poisonous West Virginia for my children and my grandchild and the children and grandchildren of oh so many others to grow up in. What a thing to work for. What a thing to take the sleaze and the hatred of people who have had their minds twisted and warped and broken by the coal industry. Just to see to it that even those people who oppose them can live an unpoisoned life in the years to come. There are good works out there, and then there are great works. And these, by God, these are the great works. At least as far as I am concerned. And I hope as far as you are as well. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, who have I got?
Well, you've got David in Middle Tennessee.
Oh, hey, David, how are you?
Quite well, sir, and you?
I'm getting along, feeling a little better right now.
Well, good. And, oh, my topic, all apologies offered, there could be no greater distance between the desire to preserve a sweet-running creek in the middle of West Virginia and Hillary Clinton, but, gee whiz,
We can do it anyway.
I'm talking about Hillary. At least I've given you a few seconds to vamp your little, you know, like, patted your little feet under the water so they can't see you doing it.
Never let them see you sweat.
Never let them see you sweat. Well, I got two underlying principles that I want to put out there before I launch into the diatribe. We've got Hillary and she's out there, and it makes me crazy when she acts like somebody she really shouldn't act like. The only reason someone should laugh in public is that you are so all-powerful, you control every avenue, every exit, every entrance, and nothing can happen without your permission. So a simple laugh can dismiss whatever it is. And this business of Hillary has an unpleasant laugh, therefore she should be discounted. No, that doesn't really matter. I don't care whether Hillary Clinton laughs, hee hee hee, or oh, oh, oh. It doesn't matter to me. But she was asked a direct question in a debate situation. What about this vote where you pretty much, like, at least put the doorknob in the chimp's hand to throw it open to go bomb Iran? What's this about? And she just pushed back in her chair and started laughing. Are you aware of that? Did you see that? You
know, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, that is the most arrogant, I almost said something that starts with F. That's the most arrogant, condescending, fill in some more blanks, you're the master of the language, that I certainly am not. It was so appalling and so enraging to me that her first thing was to, as if she is queen, she would laugh it off, and I want everybody to hear that come that day in November, should there be a cold rain falling or sleet on the street, I will go pull the lever for Hillary Clinton as opposed to anything those other ugly bastards put up. But damn it, she needs to stop the gag factor that I will have in my throat on that Tuesday in November. Damn it, she's got to stop doing A, stupid things, and then laughing as if it doesn't matter. Never mind the timbre of the laugh. Am I making any sense?
No, you make perfect sense, because that's pretty much, at least you make sense to me. There's an element of folks who have sworn that they will not, under any set of circumstances, vote for Hillary Clinton. I guess they're operating on the voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil principle. And frankly, it's hard to do. But right now, I'm in a place where if I've told myself, and Agnes and I have even had disagreements about it, if the choice is between, say, you know, Mitt combs his hair with a fork and olive oil Romney, or Rudy Giuliani, or any of those goobers, if it's Hillary Clinton and Ron Paul,
I don't care who it is on the other side. Never mind.
I got to vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry. I just do.
And you and I are in complete agreement. Never mind if it's a Max Headroom Mormon. I don't care who's on the other side, because all of those people on the other side prop up Cheney. All those people prop up, what's the little German? What's the little Nazi Secretary of State? Karen Hughes, they prop up Rove. Any hood ornament that you put on that hideous Republican limousine, it props up all the rest of it. It props up Gingrich. It props up DeLay. I will not allow that mechanism. I don't care if they...
I won't participate in that.
No, neither will I. If Mother Teresa could come out of the grave and become a Republican candidate, I would vote against her, because she is the hood ornament on that hideous limousine.
That is so well put. Because the vote for president enables the party.
Thank you.
And you're right. I mean, I'm sorry. It's worth it to me not to watch Mitch McConnell gloat.
Oh, cha-ching, we have a winner. Get that man two toasters.
Bagel wide. Bagel wide.
Heck, yes. Oh, yeah. I want to... Hey, George, he gets a three wide.
Darn straight. Send it right here to the house, would you?
I mean,
we're being a little bit flip, but...
Well, we've got to relieve a little tension, or we'll both pop an artery.
Okay, I just got from Benedict in the chat room, up yours, Bob, you're a fool. Kiss my ass, Benedict. You know what? You lay out of the race. You go vote for a Ron Paul. You go vote for a third-party candidate, and I'll talk to you just like I talked to the Nader voters from 2000.
I don't have to say a word, and I've had many chat room exchanges before I forgot to renew my Java connection or whatever else.
No, I guess that was highly unprofessional of me. But you know what? I will not be responsible. I was not responsible in 2000 for George Bush getting into the White House.
Nope.
I was not responsible in 2004 for George Bush being so-called reelected.
Now, he was appointed. We should always... say that.
There are buckets of blood on the hands of the Nader voters. Buckets of it.
Buckets, so true, the stain is everlasting, and in political terms, they will have to face their political maker and discuss the red stains that go up to the elbows.
I can't be a part of it. Would I vote for Gore in a heartbeat if he was running against Senator Clinton? Damn straight. Am I going to vote for Dennis Kucinich in the West Virginia primary? Damn straight.
I'll walk through glass to vote in a primary for Dennis Kucinich. He is the closest thing, knowing that there can never be a perfect politician, but he is so intensely close. Some of those nice conservative suits, I would not be surprised had maybe one, at the most two seams in them. The rest of it was seamless.
Well, you know, I live a little close to things here, David. And I know there's a lot of people that want to excuse the Nader voters. Say, it was the voting machines. You're damn straight it was the voting machines. But it was the closeness of the vote. It was the caging of the caging lists. It was the felony scrubs, okay? But you take those Nader votes in Florida, and there's no way it can become, and you take those Nader votes in Florida and turn those into Gore votes, and you don't have an Iraq war, okay?
You do not have.
And I don't. And here in southern West Virginia, David, I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox right now. You take those Nader votes in Florida and turn them into Gore votes, and you know what? There's not 3 million pounds of explosives being used in Appalachia every day. It's that simple.
Nor are there so many of your 19-year-olds being killed over there.
Well, you know what? I mean, I guess this stings the Nader voters. And I'm sorry it does, but, you know, this is a reality-based community. Yeah, Gore won the popular vote, but you know what? The popular vote is not what awards the presidency. And the fact of the matter is, a whole bunch of screwed-up butterfly ballots and a whole bunch of Nader votes in Florida changed this nation eternally for the worse.
The Nader voters made it easier for Ms. Harris, made it easier for Mr. Diebold, and the case, it's a matter of arithmetic. It's not abstract. It's not obtuse. It ain't tough. It ain't rocket science. It's one pencil and a legal pad. We'll let you figure that stuff out. And yes, Bob, it's intensely personal for you.
How far is
your son away from being 18? How's he looking? How's he looking, brown camo, Bob?
You know what? I've seen recruiters already eyeballing him.
Of course.
Okay. They set up a little rock climbing wall at local carnivals, and he loves to do those things. And the guy comes over and claps me on the shoulder and say. He'll make a fine soldier someday. And I turn around and I say, you kiss my ass.
Load up and put a short right under his chin, and I'll chip in on the fine if it ever happens again. I'll drive there to get you out.
You know, again, this is very close and very personal for me. We can talk about Florida. We can talk about Nader voters. You know what? West Virginia is responsible for the hell that it is in, because had West Virginia simply voted the right way in 2000, we wouldn't be talking about Nader voters.
Oh, I know. But my state has many stains on her skirt. Tennessee.
That rotten, filthy pig Charlton Heston came here and stood in the Raleigh County Armory and said, get your hands off my guns, you dirty Democrat. And all the knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, Bible-eating, family-values, gun-rights-loving voters went, yeah, Charlton, yeah, Moses, he's going to get our guns.
Did he ask for his bowl of oatmeal and bib right after that.
That's before he had to go away.
Yeah, well, anyway, at least he did, and Stick Figure can't say too much more about him being king of the world. Ms. Nancy.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Talk to the stargazers, honey. Oh, well, all right. I've pissed off
a bunch of people now, but you know what? I'm not going to be the Judas goat in 2008. I'm just not going to.
Nope. Sorry. And
if she pisses me off enough, I'll stay home. But I won't participate in any BS third-party candidacy, because the Constitution of the United States, David, does not allow for third-party candidacies. This ain't no parliamentary system.
You know, and I'm banking on something that, oh, Lord, I hate betting on the come. As a 16-year-old, I was educated as to the ways of how to gamble by a gentleman named Mr. McDonald. None of us knew his first name. Mr. McDonald.
You weren't supposed to.
Mr. McDonald owned McDonald's Sports Center. It was in the 300 block of South Gay Street, just across the street from the Tennessee Theater in Knoxville, Tennessee. You walked up a very long flight of stairs, and it said in gold on the opaque glass door, if you're not 18 or over, don't even think about it. Otherwise, you're welcome. You had to have, as I did as a 16-year-old that wanted access to the only true billiard tables in Knoxville, Tennessee, you had to have a card signed by a parent, which I still have, so that I could go in there. And Mr. McDonald, once he saw kids, and if a kid was courteous, and if a kid was nice about it, he would explain part of the man's world to you. You just don't gamble money you can't throw away, and I just don't do that. But I will bet on the come, which was rule two for Mr. McDonald.
Don't do it.
Never bet on the come, son. I'm going to bet on the come that if it comes down to it, and with some of these hideous, horrific, horrible, just portending great evil, or lesser evil, things that Hillary's become involved with, that some members of the Democratic Party can show a little spine and jerk her away from this crap once elected, and remind her that should she be elected, she has the same power that the Bushistas had in 2002. My beloved Democratic Party are acting like it's 4 years ago, when the damned Republicans. You have any idea how hard it was not to put some extra words in front of you?
I know.
It's not 4 years ago, Democrat. It's okay if our testicles descend. It's okay if there's calcium running up our backs. It's okay if our vocal cords are big and wide and speak in a, you know, better than tenor, hopefully baritone sound. Come on, boys and girls. Like, act like you care.
Well, you know, in the first decade of the 21st century, David.
Yeah.
When there is an entire industry devoted to minimizing liberal and progressive votes, every vote counts.
Oh, does it ever?
And so, it is really true that a vote for anybody but the Democratic nominee is a vote for the Republican Party, because their entire campaign strategy is always, every blessed time, predicated on turnout minimization.
Yes, it is. If you make them disgusted enough, they'll stay home, and our Kool-Aid drinking, Bible thumping, chump ass idiots will show up, and the Republicans, can carry the day.
Yeah. And, you know, people are free to disagree with me on it. They can say that they're going to vote for, you know, write in Ron Paul. They can say they're going to write in Dennis Kucinich. You know what? I won't. Not because I believe that Democrats, by and large, as they exist in the plutocracy in Washington, D.C., are better, but because I know that I am better, David. I know that I have a responsibility to four young people in the other part of this building, and that I spit on that responsibility when I help a Republican get into office, whether that Republican is a county commissioner, a member of my state legislature, a member of Congress, the President of the United States, or the damn dog catcher.
Any vote other than a nominated Democrat, any vote other than that, or the lack of a vote, the two are the same. You're voting for George Bush, and you're voting for Tom DeLay. And as Democrats, we need to have that firmly right behind. I mean, it needs to be, should such a thing be able to be done, it needs to be tattooed in reverse on the inside of our eyelid. Anything other than the nominated Democrat is Tom DeLay. It's Abramoff.
It's Larry Craig.
It's Norquist. It's Roe. It's Larry Craig. It's Bitter.
And you know what's more? It's right-wing Republican pastors wrapped up in latex. It's right-wing Republican federal prosecutors flying to Michigan to have sex with a five-year-old. I won't be part of it, David. I won't.
Neither will I. Nor will I support anything that deifies Rush Limbaugh.
Seems easy enough to me. David, thank you very kindly.
Well, like always, you know, I've just
chimed right in and put a stick in the spokes, didn't you?
No, I would say I like whacked the living dog crap out of that big ass hornet's nest is what I probably did, and that's just fine by me. You know, I've taken welts before and gotten over it.
Well, so have I. Take a licking and keep on ticking. You know, people are free to vote who they want to vote for, but you know, at least do it with your eyes wide open.
Please, exactly. You know, if you do it, don't come crying to us when it all falls in on your head.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Later. Bye now. Yeah, let's make no mistake. I'll never forget or forgive the Bush voters. I'll never forget or forgive the people who said, I'm voting for George Bush because he's just like the feller that lives next door to me, and I could sit down and have a beer with him. Idiots. But, you know, just because there were Bush voters does not absolve the responsibility of the Nader voters. There's a great, great editorial cartoon that runs over at Bart Cop every now and then that shows a couple of environmentalists with gas masks on staring at a vast and disgusting and polluted, brown-tinged, filthy, industrial swamp wasteland. One looks at the other and says, how you feel about that Nader vote now? Because that's the thing that really pisses me off, is the part about the Nader people. And there's no difference between Nader and Bush. Kiss my butt. You ask somebody that lives in the shadow of an earthen dam holding back 8 billion gallons of toxic coal waste whether there's a difference between Bush and Gore. They know the answer. So we'll take a little break, and we'll come back to your calls because you've lit them up, and I'm going to get to them. I promise you that. Say what you will, agree or disagree. This, by God, is a discussion we can have here. Nobody's going to get censored. This is The Horn. This is Conversation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I have dreamed on this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dreams away. Now with me watching, you may drive a big machine, but I was born a great big woman, and you can't just take my dreams away without me fighting. It's so mountain raised my many daughters, some died young, some are still living. If you come here for the taking of mountain, well, we ain't come here to give it. I have dreamed on this mountain.
Yoo-hoo.
Hello.
Hey, Al.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. It's the Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience
and compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com and supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is Joe Vecchio with the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Since this administration and the Democratic Congress have ignored our pleas to end the Iraq war and deal responsibly with domestic issues here at home, a few fellow bloggers and myself have proposed a nationwide work stoppage on October 17, 2007. No need to march or riot in the streets, just stay home next Wednesday, October 17th. For more information, visit our website at shutitdown101707.blogspot.com.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
And a half minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. And I want to thank those of you who have sent contributions along. Even during the show, you're making it a little more and more likely that we will meet our October goal to keep conversation going in America. To the phones, straight away, and see who have we got. Well, we got a busy signal there. Hey, who have I got? Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Well, I'm
I've been playing the, you know, kind of the chat room games and listening and watching and just thinking a bit, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you can think yourself into a puzzle, and other times you think yourself outside the box. And I'm just curious, why so many? And I just had a friend tell me on the internet that Bob Kincaid just kind of dissed him and kicked him off the net. And I'm going, Benny, good God, nobody. Kicking you anywhere?
No, we do. No, we ask for civility, and that's the first thing when you sign into the chat room, Gunny. You will see a
Hey, Bob, stop and
think. It says manners always.
Yes, and it's always manners, and you can be respectful and sometimes disagree, right?
Sure.
You can disagree,
but he wasn't respectful.
Of course not. I mean, Benny thinks he's got
bad manners, Bob. Bad manners.
Yep. Well, sometimes I got bad manners too, and I got my butt. You know.
So one of the moderators in the chat room simply put him on silence temporarily.
Yep.
Not for the content, not for the disagreement, but for basically being a dick.
Well, that's the thing, Bob. We're not on the front porch to be what you just said, okay? And I'm not saying that word because it would probably get you a fine or something, and I wouldn't.
No. This is the internet.
I know that, Bob. But the thing is, you can't think inside the box and be outside of it. And that's I love Benedict at large. I love him as a friend and as a fellow compatriot, okay? As I love you. And, hey, I love your dear family. I mean, like I was telling our dear friend up there, Nanette, I was telling her that, I'm still working with Agnes trying to arrange a marriage between my son and your daughter. Just kidding, Bob.
I understand. No, that's just a joke. No, that's a joke.
Yeah, because they were saying, arranged marriages? Oh, that can't be. But see,
hey, 8 more years of Republican rule, we'll pretty much be there.
I know that, and that's the silliness of it, Bob. It is so, oh my God, so far inside the box, and we're trying to get outside of it, Bob. You've been kicking on the door for how many years now? I mean, I can remember when Bob Kincaid was talking about, going out with his son and hunting squirrels out of a tree, or was that calling Republicans out of the woods? I can't remember.
Yeah, you got to lead them a little bit.
Huh?
You got to lead them a little bit.
Yeah, it's back there today, right?
Yeah, I've been at this since 2003, Bob.
Yeah, and I've been with.
And you know what? All I can do is be straight up and talk the truth as and the facts as I know and understand them.
But
okay.
Now,
if somebody wants to get the ugly in the chat room, I don't. You know, we've got great moderators, and I trust their judgment, and they have absolute judgment. They have absolute power to do as they see fit.
I know that.
And I saw it, and it pissed me off. I shouldn't have responded the way I did. I probably should have been booted from the chat room too, for what I said in response.
Hey, whatever happens, but the thing is, we either hang together or we shall surely hang separately. And that is the truth. Either we hang together. And Benny, just wake up and stop being the whipping boy and feeling like you're the guy in the corner and everybody's picking on, because nobody's picking on Benedict. Nobody is. Nobody has. And nobody's picking on Gunny Bob. Nobody's picking on Bob Kincaid. And nobody is picking on anybody except the Bush administration. It's picking on us all, and that's the truth. And I love TSM. You know, I do. I love the Smart Mom. And you know what she told me the other day on the, you know, we were in that. She says, you know, I got my name. She told me, she says, I used to be called the Smart Ass Mom, you know. And that's what you got, TSM. So,
yeah.
To you, dear, I love you. And
And to all of you liberal folks out there, I mean, if you're liberal enough to realize that you're not the end-all, the be-all, because I'm not. And Bob Kincaid is not the end-all, the be-all. Bob Kincaid is a talk show host that puts up with your BS, and he puts up with mine. Truth or dare?
Yeah, sure.
Did I say it wrong, Bob?
Nope, not at all. Bob, I think there's one more blinking light here. Whether it's a busy signal or a human being, I don't know, but I hate to leave people hanging.
Well, get them, Bob. And, hey, to you, my friend, love you. Love you, lady. Love you, children. Love you.
We love you and all of yours, too, Bob. We truly do.
And hopefully one day we shall all meet and sit down and you can have a cup of coffee, but I'm going to have a damn beer.
No, it'll be beer. It'll be beer.
Okay, well,
talk to you later, Bob.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And we will try this and see who we get. Maybe it's a busy signal.
Hello?
Hey.
Are you Rogers or Hammerstein?
Oh, I'm Moss Hart. Or maybe Bret Hart. I'm not sure.
I got to say this. I wish I could disagree with you on some of this stuff, but I can't find a thing to disagree with you on tonight, really.
Well, I thank you. I mean, you're free to.
Really? You got it going on.
Well, I appreciate it, and glad you like the tune.
Well, listen, can you please quickly tell me what that was about? I missed that. I wasn't able to listen. What created that?
Well, let's see. There's a song by John Prine called Angel from Montgomery. That's the music.
But, I mean, what incident created this?
Southern Baptist minister, former disciple and student of Falwell, found dead by mechanical autoerotic self-asphyxiation while bound up in rubber. That's the short story. Pastor of a Southern Baptist megachurch in Montgomery, Alabama.
Is that the one who had the device?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the latex and the wetsuits and the bondage mask and the scuba mask and the 11 belts and 4 ligatures and, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
51 years old, 19 years senior pastor at the Thorington Road Baptist Church.
Where was he found?
In his home in Montgomery, Alabama.
Do they know who did this?
He did this.
He did it all to himself?
There were no... The medical examiner ruled that it was not a crime. It was an accidental death.
Wow. I've heard of being ambidextrous, but this puts a new light on it, doesn't it?
Well, you know, these people...
Got an octopus?
No.
I mean, really? Come on.
Oh, Jesus, Jim. Try the veal, you know?
I have. Didn't like it. Well, I mean, good Lord. I mean, to place...
You know, somebody may have been there, you know, a paid dominatrix or maybe his boy toy. I'm guessing it was a boy toy, and the guy freaked out and bugged out when the guy shuffled off this mortal coil.
Well, listen, you've got 8 minutes to go, and I'll get off here, but, you know, like I say, you've got it going on, and I'll just say this. I can remember over one of the local talk shows here when Bush came to town, everybody was just, he was like a rock star, and the host of that show asked me what I would do, and I said I would even open the front door for that son of a bitch.
Right. See, nobody would play along with me, but I remember when that happened, Jim, and I wanted to get a bunch...
said that?
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I remember when you said it, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to get a bunch of guys in white sheets and pillowcases to stand up and by the road and with signs that said Klansmen for Bush.
Well, what I wanted to do was just go down there and drop my pants and just give him a big moon when he went by.
You know, I don't know. I thought the Klansmen for Bush. I thought Klansmen for Bush would have gotten a lot of media coverage, but, you know, even my lovely wife said, "You are crazy."
No. No, I'm afraid you're not crazy. I'm afraid you're right on the mark there. I wish you were, but you're not. It just shows you how low this country is getting and what's going on in here. You know, it's just,
yeah, I know.
It's very frightening to me.
I know. Jim, have a good night.
And same to you. Good night.
Bye now.
Well, that's about it for the show this evening. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks for some of the busy signals. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for the rude commentary in the chat room and the pleasant commentary as well. Thanks for participating in conversation radio and the American discussion and dialogue. Thanks for your emails. Most of all, thanks for continuing to make independent media, media that answers to no master, possible. You're the only people we answer to. And therefore, you answer to yourselves. That's kind of the essence of freedom, isn't it? Really, really is. Many thanks to multi-talented musician, producer, performer John Fox, also the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to our IT professional, Peter Godbold, who's on his way with Strictly Confidential on a really hot, hot show for tonight. We will he will be welcoming, among others, the godfather of mixology, Tom Moulton. Thanks to the hardest working man in liberal talk. Thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you, thank you, thank you, all of you. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. 13 suspected insurgents, including three members of al-Qaeda in Iraq, were killed today in a U.S. airstrike west of Baghdad. Al-Qaeda has vowed to increase attacks against Iraqi and U.S. forces and against Sunni Arab tribal leaders who are cooperating with the U.S. military. The U.S. Marine Corps wants to move its forces from Iraq to Afghanistan to take the lead in combat there, according to the New York Times. The suggestion was raised last week by Defense Secretary Robert Gates in a closed-door session of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Late word is that the al-Qaeda are amassing troops on the Afghan border, preparing for a large-scale battle. A Myanmar opposition leader who was arrested during last month's pro-democracy protests died while being tortured during interrogation. The U.S. has threatened new sanctions after reports of the death of Win Shui. China is condemning a U.S. decision to award the Dalai Lama a Congressional Gold Medal. The Dalai Lama fled to India in 1959 after a failed uprising against Communist China's rule of Tibet. President Bush is expected to meet with him at the Friday, October 19th awards ceremony at the Capitol. The United Nations called on the U.S. to ensure that any private contractors committing offenses in Iraq are prosecuted. The killing of 17 Iraqi civilians in a shooting involving private security contractor Blackwater USA has caused increased tension between Baghdad and Washington. The U.S. State Department might phase out Blackwater's contract in light of a comprehensive review of security in Iraq. Turkey has withdrawn its ambassador to the U.S. because a House panel passed a measure that says the 1915 through 1917 massacre of Armenians by Ottoman Turks was genocide. The House Foreign Affairs Committee approved the resolution just yesterday. In Cleveland, Ohio, a 14-year-old student shot and wounded two adults and two students on a high school.